Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vascon Engineers Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Gandhi from Stellar Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Vishakha. Good morning, everyone. I, Akhilesh Gandhi, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to Vascon Engineers Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the first quarter ended on June 30, 2025. We have with us today the senior management team of Vascon Engineers Limited, Dr. Santosh Sundararajan. He's the Group CEO. With him, we have Mr. Somnath Biswas. He's the Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to state that this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. The statements made in today's call are not a guarantee of future performance and also involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including the investor presentation, have already been uploaded on the stock exchanges, and I now invite Dr. Santosh Sundararajan to state his opening remarks on the company's performance for the first quarter ended on June 30, 2025. Post that, we will open the floor for a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Akhilesh. Good morning, everyone. I warmly welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Vascon Engineers for the first quarter ended June 30, 2025. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. I hope you've had the chance to go through the Q1 FY26 results as well as the investor presentation available on the stock exchange as well as the company's website. We would like to share that our overall revenue has seen a healthy improvement during the quarter, supported primarily by continued execution in our EPC segment. While early monsoons in certain regions presented logistical challenges, our project sites remained operational and execution progressed in line with our internal plans. However, these weather-related disruptions did temper the pace of execution a bit, resulting in a modest year-on-year growth of 13% in Q1 FY26. We believe this reflects the strength of our project pipeline and operational preparedness across sites. Coming to our segmental performance, our EPC business continues to be on the cornerstone of our growth journey. Over the years, we have built a strong track record, having successfully completed more than 225 projects, covering over 45 million sq ft of construction across India. Our execution strength is backed by a team of over 500 skilled professionals across our project management and engineering functions. In addition, our in-house design and planning capability enables us to offer complete turnkey solutions, covering architectural design, structural engineering, and execution. This integrated approach reduces dependence on external agencies and speeds up decision-making and helps us maintain healthy margins. We continue to focus on large, high-value civil construction contracts, especially from government bodies and reputed private players. Our strong track record of quality work and timely delivery has helped us build long-term relationships with marquee clients such as AIIMS, NBCC, CIDCO, MMRDA, etc., and other leading institutions across healthcare, education, industrial, and residential sectors. In Q1 FY26, our EPC revenue stood at 204 crore, registering a year-on-year growth of 6.25%. This growth was achieved through timely and efficient project execution despite challenges posed by early monsoon disruptions across multiple regions, which tempered the overall pace of execution. As of June 30, 2025, our EPC order book stood at 2,902 crore, which is about 2.9 times our FY25 EPC revenue, offering strong visibility for the next two to three years. The breakup of our current order book is as follows: 2,469 crore from external EPC contracts and 433 crore from internal real estate projects. About 73% of the total orders are from government-backed projects, which ensure timely payments and strong cash flow visibility as of now. Looking ahead, our focus will remain on bidding for larger projects in the range of 600 to 700 crores and maintaining cash flow positive execution, further strengthening and working on our design and build model. We are confident of delivering 20 to 25% annual growth in our EPC segment in the coming years. Let me give you an update on the real estate segment. In Q1 FY26, we continue to see steady progress across our ongoing projects. During the quarter, we achieved new sales booking worth 40,500 square feet with a total booking value of 55 crores and a collection of 65 crores. While these numbers will reflect in the financial upon revenue recognition, the operational activity on ground has been very strong. We currently have 4 real estate projects under active development with a total saleable area of 0.77 million square feet, of which 0.61 million square feet is attributable to Vascom. These include Tulip Phase 3 at Coimbatore, Good Life at Talegaon, Tower of Ascent at Kharadi, and the redevelopment project Orchid at Santa Cruz, Mumbai. So far, we have sold 0.44 million square feet and booked total sales worth 272 crores and collected 198 crores. 116 crores of revenue has already been recognized from Tulips and Good Life. Looking ahead, our near-term real estate pipeline is strong and includes a JV residential project in Powai, a 4-acre high-density housing project in Kharadi, and a Tower of Future, a commercial project in Baner Pashan, Prakash Housing Society, which is a redevelopment project in Santa Cruz. Together, these projects total up to 0.82 million square feet of saleable area attributable to Vascom, which is roughly an estimated top line of 1,100 crores of sales. With ongoing projects progressing well and a robust pipeline in place, we are confident about a meaningful and consistent contribution of the real estate segment from current year onwards. Coming to the financial performance of the company in Q1 FY26. The company reported a consolidated total income of 242 crores in Q1 FY26, a 22% year-on-year growth over 198 crores in Q1 FY25, which includes profit from the sale of investment in Ascent Hotels Private Limited in Pune. EBITDA, excluding profit from the sale of investment in Ascent Hotels, for the quarter stood at 16 crores compared to 18 crores in the same period last year. While the EPC EBITDA margin stood consistent at about 9-10%, the real estate EBITDA margins declined due to higher marketing costs incurred this quarter. Profit after tax is at 22 crores compared to 9 crores in Q1 FY25. To conclude, our strong financial performance, robust order book in EPC segment and a healthier balance sheet gives us confidence for the future. We remain committed to delivering value through disciplined execution, innovation and a dedicated team. With that, we now welcome any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question was on the profitability. Okay. If we look at the note 6, which states that the profit from sale is around 17.5 crore and which is included in other income, if we remove this other income, okay, and make it like to like, our PBT margins for the quarter went down to 3% on standalone basis, okay. So that is the part one. And second, when we look at the segmental numbers, it seems that the profit on sale of this asset is included in EPC business. And if we remove this numbers from EPC business, then EPC was at a very nearly zero profit type of numbers for the quarter. So why would this be the case? And why the margins have seem to be so low on the EPC business. So these are the.
See, you know, to answer your question, that number one, if you remove that that sale of investment in Ascent Hotel, obviously, if you look apple-to-apple comparison, percentage-wise, slightly less as compared to last year. The reason will come back. We'll get back to after this thing. But if you are talking about the segmental, in segmental, it has been that clearly 17.5 crore clearly shown that it is a unallocable. It is not clubbed with EPC, and despite of this unallocable, the EPC is showing the EBITDA of 19 crore.
So what you are talking, I could not hear you. Can you just
see, if you look at that segmental report which has been presented in the investor presentation, that 17.5 crore has been clearly showed as that investment on unallocable. So it is not part of this thing. And if you look at that EPC, EPC is showing 19 crore EBITDA. So what you are talking that EBITDA is zero, that is not the right picture.
There's an 8% debit margin. It is clearly shown in the slide 8 of our
presentation. Because I'll tell you, when we look at the page 9 of what you have put on the result presentation, okay.
Page 8, I think you have to look at page 8.
Page, so the segmental numbers, okay.
Yeah, right. Look at the page 8.
No, I am not talking about the quarterly presentation. I am was talking more on the press release. Okay.
So you are right. See, we are not. In general, there is a reduction of couple of basis points on the EPC margin. It's nowhere near zero. The EBIT is still at 8. We would normally, it is normally in the range of 10. We did have a write down in one of our projects, Goa, whereby we consciously took a call along with the board and the auditor to not recognize revenue beyond a particular point on that, because that project is under arbitration. And whenever the results of the arbitration are out, we will be getting a bonus recognition of revenue. But as a cautious measure, we stop recognizing further revenue from that project, except beyond what we, you know, is accepted by the client at this stage. So that actually we had to pull back about 4 to 5 crores this quarter. In a reversal. So that is affecting our numbers in terms of profitability of the EPC segment, which is specific only to this quarter. But even then, it's nowhere near zero. We are at about 8% EBIT. The PBT would be at around 6 to 7% this quarter. But we are confident that we can pull this towards 8 and 9 as the year goes on, because, you know, anyway, this quarter is the lowest contributing quarter for the year, generally speaking. On the real estate side, there is a minor loss. So that also, I mean, that is because of the revenue recognition AS7 method. As we said, we've incurred marketing costs on our Bombay project this quarter, and we've achieved sales as well in line with those marketing costs. However, the sales don't come in, you know, as we all know, as per AS7, but those marketing costs have already come into the books. So the real estate segmental, you will see, is at a marginal loss of about 5% in EBIT. And the EPC is at about 8% in EBIT, and the 17.5 is not included in this.
Okay, and one more thing. In last 1 year, our debt has reduced materially, okay, after sale of assets and everything. But if I look at our cost of finance, or the finance costs, last year versus this year, it is still increased by 17-18%, okay. So why would my finance cost increase so much when my debt has reduced significantly in last 1 year?
Hey, Shivanshu, if you look at the gross debt remain upside only. If you are talking about the net debt has been substantially reduced. But if you look at the gross debt number, that is the upside of the gross debt number, as because some debt has been taken for the real estate project. So obviously, once the gross debt is increased, there will be some increase, incremental part of this finance cost will be there.
Okay, okay. And I have one more question. See, we have spoken about diversifying our order book in past, and we have some discussions on it on the call. But if we look at one of our peers, okay, northern peers, who also used to have a similar order book profile with nearly 80-85% from government and in only 17-18% from private sector 3 years back, has moved to 42% government order book and 58% from private. Okay. But in our case, it is still predominantly government with 78% as of Q4 and I think 74-75% as of Q1 FY26. We have not seen many orders won from the private sector. And residential sector is the place where others have grown quite materially and institutions building. Okay. And that has been a lagging point for us. Okay. So what are the challenges and how are we thinking of overcoming them and grow our business even on the private sector? Okay. Because it seems very slow, though we have won one order this quarter, significant 228 crore, but it has lagged the way the market has grown on the private side, or we have lagged. Some thoughts on that will be helpful, and what direction are we taking on that?
No, I agree with you. We are also, you know, pretty keen to increase the ratio of exposure to private sector. We do not want to be skewed towards one sector. Having said that, we have no complaints from the government sector at this point of time. The kind of projects we slot into, you know, in the 300 to 600 crore range and the hospitals that we are working on, we see that, you know, these are the kind of projects where there is no payment issues from government, even if it is state government, even if it is in the phase of elections or whatever. So we are pretty happy to be skewed towards the government even at this point of time. But however, as a prudent business call, we would want, you know, to be closer to 60 government, 40 private at least, and not 75-78 government. So we are working on that. We are, you know, looking for projects in the private sector. We've burnt our fingers in the past in the private sector, especially with builders, especially residential projects. And therefore, you know, we are still having very stringent terms when we sit across the table for negotiations with private builders in terms of the bank guarantees we are comfortable providing, in terms of the terms of the contract. You know, there are a lot of terms which have bitten us in the past. So those wounds haven't been forgotten. So we are a bit sticky when it comes to negotiation on the private side. And we have let go of many tenders where, you know, the client is insistent on certain terms which do not go in line with our, you know, mandate from the board as well. But having said that, we are aggressively trying to increase our exposure on the private side also, with no desperation, but looking for good projects. And in the meantime, you know, if a government project comes by which is good and this ratio remains in this range for a short while, we are okay with it. We don't want to let go of government projects waiting for private projects. But we do have a separate business marketing cell we have put up now, which we are trying to aggressively set target for private side. So I take your point and we will work on it.
Okay. And how big is the team or which is working on private side, the marketing team, private side? And
so at this point of time, we are not looking aggressively for private projects in other zones except in Maharashtra, Pune, Mumbai. We are not looking in NCR region also. We would prefer to stick to government in the north zone of India. In the south, in Bangalore, we are looking. In Chennai, we are looking, and in Mumbai. So in all these places, we have a couple of business management people headed by one central business management person placed out of our head office.
Who is working for private sector? Means
for
business.
For the correct. Correct.
Okay. Thank you. I'll join back in with you for that question.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kanish Shah from SR Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So the while the Royal Rides and other small wins like around 300 crore have been announced, the pace of new inflows, you know, seems slower than expected. Could you just elaborate on the current bidding pipeline and the expected, you know, conversion in Q2 and H2 FY26?
Yes, that is, I mean, if I may accept, you know, for everyone, that is definitely a short-term concern. We have not bagged any significant orders in the last 6 months except that one order you mentioned. We have lost out on at least three projects of 700, 650, 750 crore size range, you know, by very small margins. We are realizing that the competition is intense
in the market and the rates at which people are backing these projects are a bit lower than what our expectation is. So we've always set a guideline for ourselves of about 15% gross profit on EPC projects, so that we are able to hit closer to about 9 to 10% PBTs that we aim in this segment. But it looks like, you know, it's been 6-8 months and we are not desperate, but we are definitely a bit concerned and we want to be backing the order target for the year. So maybe a percentage point or two we will bring down, and we will aggressively look at this, and hopefully in the next 9 months we will achieve our targets.
Okay, okay. And the other question I have is, there is a 440 crore land item in the balance sheet. So what exactly does this figure include? Like, how many land parcels are there and where are they? What is their book value and all individually?
We can share the total breakup of it to you, you know, if you, I mean, through Stellar, if you could just post call, give us an email, we can send you the details. It primarily consists of our holding in the Thane land, and then we have a project in Kalyani Nagar where it reflects as land, you know, a prime parcel over there where we hold the rights to construction, and a few others. So we can send you the detailed breakup.
Sure, sure, no problem. Yes. Just one last thing, that you mentioned that currently about 3.7 million square feet is being executed annually at 90% capacity utilization, right? So against an overall capacity of 8 million square feet per annum, this implies that the company is still significant higher at idle capacity, likely due to maybe limited order inflow. So if the order inflow improves meaningfully and you are able to use the full capacity, what would be the maximum annual revenue and potential that Vascon could achieve from this EPC segment?
So, sir, see, that is a very complicated question. There is a short-term answer to it. There is a long-term answer to it. Okay. One is our execution capacity. We are quite comfortable at this point of time in terms of our senior management bandwidth or, you know, assets that we have. Even if we have to, we have almost utilized most of the assets that were lying idle in our yard about 4-5 years ago. But even, you know, augmenting assets is not a big problem. With small capex that we might incur going forward for growth, we can carry on this growth story. There is another angle, which is the BG limit. The BG limits always, you know, sort of put another guideline to the growth that we can estimate. So, you know, BG limit won't double year on year. They will steadily grow based on our performance year on year and our you know, relations with the bank. So we expect, so with all these factors, you know, kept in mind, we have always projected for the last 1 year, I've been saying we want to grow at 20 to 25%, if possible 25% year on year on the EPC side. We've done about 1,000 crores last year. Our target for this year is 1,200, if not a bit more. And we still feel we're very much on track to achieve that. The first quarter, barring, as I said, a little bit of monsoons and one project that didn't take off in full speed. But we're still very positive that in the next 3 quarters, we will catch up and achieve the 1,200 target for this year. For next year, you know, another 20% growth would mean we have to do 1,450 or close to 1,500. Again, the BG limits will grow. For this year, the BG limits have already been tied up. For next year, we'll have to continue growing on the BG limits. As of now, the only little concern is that the order booking has to happen. Otherwise, the growth story will not pan out the way we are talking. So, you know, as rightly pointed out, and I think surely everybody would have that concern in mind, that we haven't booked good orders in the last 6-8 months. Hopefully in the next 9 months, we'll be able to reverse that and start next year with close to, you know, upwards of 3,500 crore order backlog in hand. Then this growth story will definitely be achieved.
Okay. Yeah, just, you know, given the strong long-term opportunity, are there any plans to, you know, expand beyond even 8 million square feet, or either by scaling up teams or adapting some kind of technology or into joint execution arrangements or something like that?
So as I said, at this point of time, you know, see, I mean, to scale up beyond this organic target of 20 to 25%, which is purely based on internal accruals, which is purely based on performance year on year, improving the balance sheet, improving your relation with the bank. This is an organic target of, you know, 20 to 25. If we want to set a higher target and, you know, expand exponentially or a bit, you know, much more than this 20, 25, One, we would need capital investment because BG Limits, as I said, won't come through the business much faster than this. So we would have to tie up much bigger BG Limits for which we would need funding. And then technology, there are options. I mean, we are always marrying new technology in every project that we do. That is not an, I mean, there is no choice on that. Even to grow at these rates, we will have to look at technology. But yeah, to diversify or to look at different streams, to suddenly set ourselves a target of 2,000 instead of 1,400 the year after next, would mean we would have to first look at infusion of capital. At this point, we are wary of taking debt on the EPC segment beyond the small CC limits that we carry. So at this point of time, I would just like to, and at a board mandate also, we're not looking to raise equity in the short term. So I think we would stick to our organic growth target of 20-25 for at least the next 1 year.
All right. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to know that the company currently operates in Pune, Mumbai, and Coimbatore. So are there any new cities being evaluated for the future for the real estate?
At this point, no. We are happy to stick to these three cities at this point of time.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Just apart from that, one more thing. So your real estate model is largely asset light through JVs and JDA structures. So how do you see this going ahead? So just wanted to know, so how do you decide between outright purchase, JV, or redevelopment? And how will this model look like going ahead?
Again, for the next 2-3 years, as far as our discussions in our board is concerned, at least we are pretty clear that we will be on the asset light side, even if we have accrued capital coming in from the businesses. At this point, we do not intend to be purchasing land. We will rather do two or three projects, using that capital on a JV basis, rather than, put money into purchasing land. That is the current mandate that we have at our management and board level. So we will continue on this asset light model, which is JV redevelopments in Pune, Mumbai, and Coimbatore.
Okay, got it. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vedant Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. So I just wanted to understand about the company's asset monetization efforts. So since COVID period, the company has sold some non-core assets. So if you could walk us through which assets were sold and how much was raised through these transactions?
Primarily, two big assets. I think we sold GMP, which is the biggest non-core sale that we did. I don't remember the exact numbers. We have declared it in our call a couple of quarters ago, but I think we raised about close to 100 crores for the company as cash flow in that sale. Recently, we've sold our holdings in Ascent Hotels, which is the Hyatt Hotel in Vimalnagar. Again, we got a cash flow infusion of about 40 crores from this sale and a profit of 17 crores, which reflects in this quarter. What else did we sell in the quarter?
We don't have anything to sell. All assets.
Yeah, so these are the two big assets that we sold in the last 2-3 years. Well, before that, about 4-5 years ago, we sold a land parcel in, I think 4 years ago, we sold a land parcel in Kharadi through our Ajanta partnership company that we hold there. So these are the bigger ones. And yeah, at this point of time, we really do not have any big non-core assets left. We've worked on all of this and we sold our stake in our Goa hotel also. That was again 4-5 years ago. We got the Powai land in view of that, which we are developing. So most of these non-core assets on our books have been, sold. And as of now, going forward, we only have Thane land, which is definitely not non-core. It's a core land. We will work on that. Other than that, it's business in real estate, asset-light model, and EPC, purely operations.
Okay, sure. So my next question is regarding the order book. 73% of the projects are government, as mentioned, and does it impact the margins? So are the government projects have lower margin? And
Again, a bit complicated. See, the one aspect is that in the government project, we have to be L1 to win. In the private side, you know, you need not be the lowest bidder if the client wants to award you. So sometimes, in some cases, on the private side, we can protect our margins at the time of bagging the order. Currently, as I said, you know, the government landscape has become quite competitive, and we've lost a few orders in the last 4-5 months, where we have tried to protect our 15% gross profit target. And maybe we will have to come down a percentage point or two on that, so that, you know, we have order book in hand. But plus minus all factors put together, you know, whether it's private or government, the competition is big, and I think the margin remain in that range of, you know, 12%-15% gross at the project level. And because we have design and build EPC mode of contracting, that sort of helps us protect ourselves in this range, rather than slip even further below.
Okay, thank you. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mihir Vyas from Nine Rays Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, can you share some development on the Thane land?
On the Thane land, we have a 45% stake in an entity which owns about 150 acres in that location in discontinuous parcels. Now, at this point of time, we are working on two things. One is, there is a government corridor that has been announced, which will be, you know, taking over about 30-40 acres from this parcel of 150 acres. That is in process. That might take some time, but it has been announced. And whenever that acquisition from the government side starts, that will be an automatic liquidation for us to the tune of about 20 acres. I mean, considering we are 45%, to the tune of about 18-20 acres. That is one thing that will happen. The second is on our front, we are in the process of trying to accumulate about 20 acres, out of which about 17 is in our hand. Another 3-4 acres, we are trying to use a local partner and accumulate road touching 20 acres, you know, one continuous parcel. So that process is on. You know, we are talking to the local landowners for those 3-4 acres. They are in smaller pieces in between our holding. And once we are able to achieve that accumulation of 20 acres road touch, we will then fence it, get an access. Today there is a nala between the road and our land. So we would then go and get a, you know, culvert and a bridge access to our 20 acres. And once that is done, then we will decide, you know, how much of it we want to develop under our brand name, how much of it we want to sell off or give off to someone else. So these are the two things we are working on. One we are working on, and the government is working on, as far as our Thane land is concerned. The other parcels behind, which are, you know, not contiguous, for this point of time, we are not working on them. We're just concentrating on these two things.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Divakar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible? Hello.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Sir, I just want to reconfirm the guidance that you gave earlier. So you are guiding around 20% growth in EPC, which will be 1200 crore revenue. And in real estate, you are guiding for 175 to 200. Are you maintaining that guidance?
Yes.
Okay. And on the margin front, you were saying for EPC, it will be 11% and real estate close to 15 to 17%. Is it still maintained?
PBT, we're talking of PBT. No, PBT, EPC won't be 11. It will be between 8 and 9. We are hoping at some point to push it to 10. But as I said, you know, there are pressures coming in from having to take jobs at 1 or 2% point less in terms of margin. So my guideline would still remain, you know, closer to 9 for this year. EPC, PBT. EPC, PBT.
9? Yeah. Okay. 9% PBT. Okay.
Yeah.
And for real estate, it will be 15 to 17 EBITDA margin, right? Or
correct.
Yeah. EBITDA. Okay.
Yeah.
And sir, over the years, we have grown in our EPC, right? From 300 crore to now 1,000 crore.
Right.
But real estate segment is quite, I believe, decreasing, or it kind of volatile. So
right.
This year we are expecting around 175. And what is the revenue recognition you are expecting in 27, in next 2 to 3 years, total revenue recognition?
Yeah, so I'll just tell you, see, the company, I mean, to just summarize, you're absolutely right. The company sort of went through a tough period in, you know, the early part of the 2012 to 2016-17-18. We restructured, we did a rights issue, we had a shareholding change, we had a management change, all of that. And so we call ourselves Vascon 2.0 from, say, Vascon, from 2017-18. Now, the first thing we targeted to bring up was the EPC segment. It was less capital intensive. We focused on that. We changed our strategy. We went into the government sector and, you know, bid for a lot of government projects. So as you can see, the results of that are to be seen today. We are now from 300, as you said, we've crossed 1,000, and we are at a steady target of 20% growth in that segment. The real estate segment was a bit more capital intensive, although we are on the asset-light model, but we would still need, you know, infusion of capital to launch real estate projects. So we had kept that on hold for the first 3-4 years. Only last 2-3 years, we've been working aggressively on now growing the real estate engine of our company. Currently, yes, you're right, we are only projecting 175 to 200 crores this year. But let us look at what is, you know, pending. We already spoke about 4 projects, which will give us a revenue in the range of 1100 to 1200 crores, Vascon share, which are currently to be launched over the next 12 to 15 months. We are also looking at about 300 odd crores pending revenue to be recognized from our already launched project, Vascon share. So we are looking at 1500 to, you know, upwards of closer to 1600, maybe 1500 crores of revenue from just these 4+4, 8 projects in hand as far as the real estate is concerned. Even if these take 4 to 5 years to finish, we are looking at an average of, you know, upwards of 300, 400 crore coming in from these projects. The only hitch is that quarter on quarter we will not see this, because, you know, we only get to recognize these at certain phases of completion. But all said and done, we have 1500 crores of revenue to be closed out over the next 4 years from these projects alone. And then we are also looking at new tie-ups on the asset-light model in both Bombay and Pune. So that is where we are, and we hope to, yes, we want our real estate also to grow, you know, like the EPC has, and we are working on that.
Okay, so just want to reconfirm. So you said 4 projects that you are about to launch has a revenue potential of 11 to 200 crore, and project already launched over the last 4 years, 5 years. What is the revenue potential that have already been launched?
Right.
So what was the number, sir? 1500 crore?
300 crores. I mean, not unrecognized revenue. Yeah.
Unrecognized. So this 300, 400 will come in next?
2 years. These 300, 400, so 175 will come this year, another 200 will come next year, hopefully.
Next year.
And then the 1100, which we are launching, will start coming after that.
Okay. And sir, what will be the cost requirement? How much capital will you require in these 4 projects in next 2 years?
Yes, we would need about 80 to 100 crore capital in totality for these 4 projects to be launched. Our strategy is also not to take excessive, the need for capital also arises. One is, of course, your, you know, launch costs and marketing and initial expenses at site. But before that, you know, sometimes you need premium FSIs, or you need certain chalan payments to the government to launch these projects. So that's where the need for capital arises. Although we are not buying land, these lands are already tied up. What we will be looking for is, you know, certain short-term financing strategies as well as certain equity infusion at project level from project level partners who will either come in at a profit sharing level, or who would underwrite stock from the project at an early date at a subsidized rate. So these are the 2 models. We do not want to be excessively borrowing from NBFCs until the approvals of the projects are in hand, because, you know, that timeline can be vague and then the repayment pressure starts building up. So this is the strategy to launch these 4 projects.
And just to add up all these aspects, if you are talking about what is the 4 projects you are talking of, out of these 4, already 2 has been capitalized and tied up, and there has been already raised. That's why if you look at that, our debt structure, it has been increased from 174 crore to 250 crore. So that capital already been infused in the system. Another 70-80 crore is required. That is for the remaining two projects, which is at a different stage of approval and all these things. So two projects capital tie-up is already done and infused.
Okay. And just one last question, sir. Maybe you have covered this in opening mark. So, sir, the revenue recognition in real estate in this quarter was around 20-odd crore. So why is this that low? I mean, we are projecting 175 crore, but...
So once again, it is based on the completion. This quarter doesn't have any completion. It is only the sale of unsold inventory impact. In the complicated project, what we are talking about, 300 to 400 crore, which is completed project, is coming up in the different level. So from that, this 20 crore has been done.
So we will not have in real estate a linear kind of a target at all for the next 3-4 years, because we haven't reached that level to be completing something every quarter. So the reason we are projecting 175 to 200 is we expect to complete a project. So the TOA will be completed, you know, before March, and so will part of the Coimbatore project. So once those completions happen, those inventories that are held today in the form of inventory, so-called, will then get converted to revenue.
Okay, so you are in line with that completion, right? It is going
yes,
well.
Yes, we are.
In all practicality, it will be in the Q3 or Q4 like that. It will not be in the Q2 also.
Okay. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Dr. Santosh Sundararajan for closing comments.
Thanks, everyone, for keeping faith on the company and tracking us. I'm looking forward to meet you all again next quarter, hopefully with some good news on some orders back. Thank you, and I'll see you all again. Goodbye.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Vascon Engineers, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.